As you are well aware, one of my favorite, or I want to say saints, she's only just beatified, Mother Teresa. One of my favorite saints, beatified persons to speak about is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I just heard something new recently. There is a priest, an elderly priest who lives on the East Coast, who was good friends with Mother Teresa during her life. And she would have him go back. He's a theologian. He would fly back to Calcutta almost every year to teach the sisters, to give them conferences. And he says Mother Teresa gave him one of the greatest compliments he's ever received in his priesthood. On the very first occasion that he went to visit, he was celebrating his first Mass. So you can imagine, Mass with Mother Teresa and all her sisters. And he's up there and he's giving his homily, and he thinks it's a pretty darn good homily. And he's preaching away and he looks out, and Mother Teresa's head is bobbing up and down. She's falling asleep on him. And he's so hurt. He said, "Oh my gosh, how can that be? I've flown all the way out here." So after Mass, he goes up to me and says, "Mother, were you dozing off during my homily?" She said, "Yes, Father." She said, but Father, don't take offense. I trust you so much that I knew that you would not say anything to harm the faith of my sister. So when I was overcome with weariness, it was okay to close my eyes for a moment. I knew that you would say nothing that would harm the faith of my sisters." Mother Teresa, the sisters, the missionaries of charity, they would do anything to have daily Mass. And anywhere they are in the world, almost anywhere, they do have daily Mass. But it's difficult for them sometimes to find priests to celebrate Mass for them because they live in the poorest of the poor neighborhoods and sometimes in very rough neighborhoods. But if a priest during his homily ever, when Mother Teresa was present, would say something against our faith in matters of faith and morals, she would go up to the priest afterwards and she would say, "Father, thank you so much. You have given us the greatest gift in the world, the Holy Eucharist. But Father, I must ask you not to return here until you become a faithful son of the Church." Because she was so concerned about these women who had entrusted their lives to her. And if they heard something that contradicted our faith, that would affect their relationship with God or would lead them to teach others something against our faith, how could they fulfill their mission of love? If they could not love God properly because of an error in the faith, how could they teach others to do so? Love of God and love of neighbor go hand in hand. Every once in a while, I'll have a husband or a wife or a father or a mother come to my office, and they'll talk about struggles in their marriage or problems in parenting their children. And one of the first questions I'll ask them, especially if I don't see them often, I'll say, "Are you attending Sunday Mass?" And you know the response they normally get? They kind of roll their eyes and say, "Father, what does that have to do with parenting or my relationship with my spouse?" Everything. If we're not fulfilling this tiny little way in which God calls us to love Him, and from Him we receive all love, He is the source of all love, how can we love our spouse, our children, as we're called to? And if someone is going to Sunday Mass, I'll ask them, "Is there any way that you can get to Mass more than just on Sunday? Are you being faithful to prayer? Do you have that time with God who is love, that you can be filled with the love that you need to give to your family?" My brothers and sisters, what is the surest sign to know that we are growing in our love for God? If you were to ask yourself, am I growing? Right? How do I know if I'm loving God better? One time I went to my spiritual director. Actually, I would do this every 6 months or so. I entered the seminary, and I want to be holy, I want to be a saint, I want to love God with all my heart. And as time goes on, you know, you do things, you go to Mass, you go to confession, you read the lives of the saints, but you don't see the growth in day-to-day prayer. You think, gosh, is there anything happening here? Right? After a few years in the seminary, I'm thinking, you know, Our Lady hasn't started appearing to me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. So I go to my spiritual father. Am I growing? Am I becoming holier? And every time I would ask him, he would pose this question to me.
Jeremy, are you growing in love of neighbor? If you are, then you can be absolutely certain that you are growing in love for God, that your prayers are working. When does error set in? It's when we try to separate the two, put love of God on one side and love of neighbor on the other. And you might think, you know, how could that happen? Don't the two always go together? Here's an example. Let's say I decided that I was going to, out of great love for God, I'm going to start spending all night in prayer. And I spent hours and hours, you know, praying before the Lord, and the next morning I was angry with the sacristans. Or people are coming to confession and I'm falling asleep on them. Right, actually, I just had a priest tell me recently, you know, every once in a while he's so tired of his hearing confessions for hours and hours that he'll just, you know, he'll start to doze off. Imagine if you're doing that and you can't hear people's sins. Right, then my love of God that I think is so great, it's not bearing the fruit. I'm not loving neighbor. I'm not loving my parishioners as I should. Or if a father or mother, a husband and wife is spending hours and hours in the church and not making the money they need to provide for their family, or not home with the kids as they ought to be, you'll say, gosh, you're not supposed to love God in that way because it's having a negative effect in your love for others. But normally that's not the big problem, loving God too much. It is love of neighbor that leads us to break a commandment or to not follow a teaching of the church out of the name of love. There are some religious orders in the world today who serve in third world countries. They're missionaries. And they work with these people who are so totally poor. And they think, gosh, if these people would just have less kids, they'd take care of everything. And so what do? They give them artificial contraception, thinking that they're loving them, trying to do good for them corporally, physically, and yet doing harm to their souls, leading them into sin. Or just recently I came upon an advertisement for Catholics for Choice. I think, wait a second, don't those two contradict one another? Right? And you hear it often, and I just don't think people fully think through it. Catholics for Choice. So they'll say, I personally am opposed to abortion. But, you know, other people, they have their right to do what they want to do. I personally want to follow what God desires, but if other people don't want to do what God desires, that's fine for them. How is that love? We have the elections. We vote in a couple of days. And the church has come out, the bishops of the United States, and they've said that there are 5 issues that are intrinsically evil, that always and everywhere they are wrong. To vote in favor of them would go against a well-formed conscience. The 5 issues are these. The first is abortion. The Catholic Church does more than any other organization in the world for men and women who have had abortions, to try to bring them healing, to love them, to bring them God's mercy. But the church says that we can never support the industry of abortion, and especially with our vote. The second is euthanasia. The third is human cloning. The fourth is embryonic stem cell research. Now, we can support all stem cell research. There are many that are good, that are great, that are doing great things for people's lives. But we cannot support stem cell research that would tamper with human embryos, with living human beings in the womb, and that would cause their death. And the fifth is same-sex marriage. A good priest friend of mine preached on this last weekend, and someone came up to him after Mass and said, Father, I understand those 5 things, but you didn't mention the death penalty. You know, how is that any different than abortion? And my friend explained that the church has never said that the death penalty is an intrinsic evil, that it is always and everywhere wrong. The church has said in the times that we live, it should be extremely rare, and in certain first world countries, hopefully you would never see it, but that there are occasions where for the protection of society, it has been allowed all down through the ages. Now, can Catholics, and do many Catholics believe that it's always wrong and always vote against it? Yes. Does a Catholic have to believe that it is always and everywhere wrong? No. And in fact, I had a friend of mine approach Dan Lundgren when he was the Attorney General and said, Dan Lundgren, you know, you're a faithful Catholic, and yet on your platform you are pro-death penalty. How can that be? And he said, I try to follow the church, and the church has a very small window of when it's allowed. But as the Attorney General, I know for a fact that there are people on death row who are more dangerous in prison than they are on the streets, that from prison they run a crime mob. And so I do believe there are times where it's the only way to protect society. And so it is not one of the five intrinsic evils. And then the person said, well, what about war, to my priest friend? And his response was the same. There are times where the church says that war can be justified, especially when a nation is defending itself. I close with this, a quote from our Holy Father, Pope Benedict. He says, faith, love for God, without charity, love for neighbor, bears no fruit. But charity, love of neighbor, without faith, love of God, would be a sentiment constantly at the mercy of doubt. Faith and charity require each other in such a way that each allows the other to set along its respective path. My brothers and sisters, may we seek to love God with all our hearts. He will give us the grace to love our neighbors as we are called to. And out of love for God and love for neighbor, let us vote as faithful Catholics.